Well, on this June 30th, 2018, I'm just hanging out in the studio. Just came in from having breakfast with Reginald and Leonard at the Serving Spoon in Inglewood. What did I have? I had a waffle. I broke all the rules. Waffles, small little thing of grits, bacon. Oh, my God, the bacon at Serving Spoon. It's delicious, and two scrambled eggs and a cup of coffee and some water. I just came home, and it's about 12:43 in the afternoon, Saturday afternoon. Got a little work to do around the house, but I feel full and refreshed. And I thought that I'd come in the studio and I'd put this up. Listen, when God is trying to get your attention in a certain way, do you know it? Can you figure that out? Well, join me for this next lecture. And I'm just going to do as I always do. Start playing it. And I'll interrupt and help you think it through. So, if you are not driving or can take the Bible out, you're just relaxing, having a nice cold cup of something, enjoy this afternoon webcast. That's little Eric Reed in the background. I'm playing a lot of this music because I like Eric Reed. Such an artiste. Nice number. Beauty for Ashes. Let's listen to a little Eric and then we'll get right in to this nice 30-minute lecture.
Listening. Are you listening when God speaks? Do you believe that He speaks today? How does He get your attention? Very neat question. That's the third in a series of a theme entitled Listening to God. How does God get your attention? 10 ways He uses. I believe there's 10,000, but we're just going to stick with 10 ways God uses to get your attention. Are you listening? Exodus chapter 20. The whole chapter. It's not too many verses. It's interesting as we continue. It appears to be a lot of verses, but it's not. As we continue our theme on listening to God, let's pray. Father, we thank you again for another time of preaching the word. We ask that as we study the word tonight, that we might learn from you as never before. Let us listen to you tonight, Lord, with our hearts. Let us listen with our spiritual minds. And Lord, as you speak to us in this message tonight, may we respond in obedience. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In the Old Testament times, God spoke to people very loud and clear, as keeping with our theme, listening to God. It's important that we as believers listen while God speaks. The question has been for the past couple of weeks, how do I know that God is speaking today, and how does He speak today? And we're asking the question tonight, how does God get our attention? So the sermon is getting our attention. God has to get our attention as He seeks to speak with us. And in Exodus chapter 20, we're going to see that very clear. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keepeth my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Didn't say and to keep it holy, to keep it holy. That's the key there. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Notice here he says the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, not the Sabbath of the people. All right. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witnesses against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw, now get this, see, God is talking. God is speaking to him now. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, and the people saw it, and they removed and stood afar off. In other words, when God spoke, the people moved back from Mount Sinai. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Now this is interesting. God is speaking, and the people are saying, Moses, you talk to us, but tell God, we'll hear you, because when he speaks, we're picking up some vibes that he means business. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, and you sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Let me stop right there. You read the rest of the verses on your own. How did God get their attention? God got their attention not just through Moses giving them the commandments. God got their attention, and we see it in verse 18. All right? Through the thunderings, the lightnings, the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. Did you know that even many Christians in the church today thinks that's exactly the way God is trying to get their attention? Well, I'm just going to give you 10 points tonight to show you how God is trying to get your attention. First of all, if you're a believer, if you walk in the Spirit, you will be alert to God. You've got to walk under the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will be clearly alert to what God is wanting to say and trying to say to you. And then you'll be able to determine exactly what he's saying if you're walking in the Spirit. It says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The problem is that when we don't always walk in the Spirit, that's where we have problems. When we don't know that God is speaking to us, that's because we're not following what he's telling us in our minds, in our consciences, in our heart. If we're upset, if things are not calm and easy, and things are out of whack in our lives, and God is speaking to us, he's not going to speak to you through thunders and lightnings and earthquakes and smoke coming out of the middle of the street. He is going to speak to you through your walk with him in the Holy Spirit. But sometimes, some of us Christians are moving so fast that as God is trying to communicate with us and talk with us, we need to slow down, and so that we can tune in to what he's saying to us. So we've already determined that God does speak today. Last Sunday night we've already determined how does he speak to us. If he does speak, how does he speak? Now we're going to determine how he gets our attention. How does God gain our attention if he wants to speak to us? Number one, this is one way that God gains your attention, by giving you a restless spirit. Now you tell me if I'm not lying. He gets your attention by giving you a restless spirit. Ask Esther. When Haman was going to build the gallows, Esther's spirit was restless. When she went before her husband, she had to tell him why her countenance fell. Last week we spoke about Nehemiah. Ask Nehemiah. He heard about what was going on with the Jews, and when he went before Artaxerxes, the king said, "Your countenance has fallen. What is the problem?" God will get your attention through a restless spirit. When he wants you to do something and you know that you're not doing it and you're always upset, nothing goes right. What's the matter? Are you calm and easy? No, my spirit is anxious. That's how we get your attention. And God is going to cause many things to come in your life to make your spirit restless. Relationships may not be going well with you in the house. And then you try to blame your husband, blame your wife, blame your four children who don't even know what God is trying to say to you. And you blame everybody but the right person, who's you. Honey, you burned the toast. No, it isn't that she burned the toast. Your toast was burnt. That had nothing to do with your relationship with God. Second way that he gets our attention is by using words from others. You see, I'm going to tell you now, Moses on Sinai came down with the law and gave it to God's children. And God knew that he had to gain their attention through that thunder and lightning, because the Bible tells me that the Jews were a stubborn and hard-hearted people. So are Christians, especially American Christians. We materialists. But he gets our attention through a word from others. On your own, read 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12, on your own, read it. David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. He was sitting on his throne. God sent the prophet Nathan to David and gave an example about someone that ripped off a nice little beautiful lamb that belonged to somebody else. David was moved on the throne and said, "Who is this person that did it? Who did it? He needs to be wiped out. He needs to be killed." Nathan said, "You're the one." God will get your attention through words of other people. Well, how does God speak to me? Through the preacher, through the messenger, through another Christian, through loved ones. He gets your attention. David needed to hear a word from Nathan the prophet. Some of us need to hear some words from some believers when they see us out of line, and then we talk to them. Why do we get mad? God is trying to get your attention. But we're always waiting on the earthquake, the lightning, the thunder. I know what your grandma told you. God's going to get you. No, he's not. He's going to get your attention nine more ways. What's the third way? Blessings. Whoa, hallelujah. Lord, get my attention through blessing me. The Lord will speak to you through blessings. Lord, I love that kind of stuff. I love for you to get my attention. Man, listen, that's really God communicating to me when he blesses you. I'm here to tell you that's where he gets your attention. He blesses you. He blesses you. My heart was made glad. Brother Jones, I don't think you've been up to the ministry room. I brought an old television from home because we needed it for our film series that we're going to start Tuesday night. Do you know that somebody in this church donated to this church a brand new 19-inch color TV for our video ministries? Donated the thing. Brand new up in the ministry room. Just gave it. I was saying, man, this brother was going to bring a big old table model in here with Carlton. That is a floor console model. This brother said, "Don't worry about that. You need a portable." He says, "Wait a minute." Had a conference with his family and called back and said, "Don't worry about it." And it's up in the ministry room right now. Blessings. God gets your attention through blessing you. He blessed this church because he wants this ministry to go on out. He wants you to be blessed on Tuesday nights. So how does he do it? The man just gave a brand new television. That's one way that he gets your attention. Through blessing you with material substances. When God blesses you with material things, he's talking to you. He's saying, "I am God. I did this." Everything that he's given you in your life, he's communicating with you. He's trying to get your attention. Fourth way that he does it is through unanswered prayer. Uh-oh, there it goes. Wait a minute. When I talk to God, he doesn't answer me back. Well, yeah, that's because sometimes you're disobedient. Now, you read these scriptures yourself. I'm not going to turn to them. 1 John 3:22. 1 John 3:22. John says, your prayers aren't being answered because you're disobedient. God is getting your attention through unanswered prayers. Lord, why won't you bless me? Lord, why won't you give me some clear direction? Because you're disobedient. Another reason that he gets our attention through unanswered prayers is found in James 4:3. Because we are praying, asking for the wrong things, for the wrong reasons. You pray and you receive not because you ask wrong. James 4:3, unanswered prayer. God hears you, but he's getting your attention through not even responding to you. I'm not talking about, Linda, yes answer or no answer. I'm talking about nothing. When you pray, there's nothing because you're disobedient and you want it wrongfully. And third way that he answers in terms of unanswered prayer, you find that in 1 John 5:14. Because you ask for things that are not according to his will. And we have this confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. You ask outside of his will, unanswered prayer. That's the way he gets your attention. And so when you use those scriptures whenever you pray, you have to say, am I obedient to the Lord? Am I asking for this for the wrong reasons? Is this his will for me to have that? If all that is yes, God might be getting your attention through unanswered prayer by saying, now, not yet, later on. Testing you, trying you. What's another way? Number five. This is the way that God gets your attention. Disappointment. There again, we say, wait a minute, what do you mean, John? It was going all right. I like that blessing deal. But now you're talking about God gets my attention through disappointment. Yeah, he gets your attention through disappointing you. No mountains quaking, no lightning, no thunder, no waves beating up against the side of your house. Nobody trying to come in the window while you sleep. I mean, you can pray and the Lord's going to protect your house and everything, but disappointments is how he gets your attention. When God wills something and we say no about it and we get disappointed, that's the way God is getting our attention. God wants you to do something and you saying, no, Lord, I don't want to do it. And then you're disappointed because the way you want it to work doesn't come out. God is talking to you. He's trying to get your attention. He's trying to say, Christians should never be disappointed at what I'm allowing to take place in their lives. You should always be happy about that situation. But our failure to obey him brings us disappointment. We have to understand that the inability to see causes us disappointment. I don't see, Lord. I'm depressed because you're not doing it the way I want it done. He's trying to get your attention through these means, and he uses them. Sometimes the greatest disappointments in life will turn out to be, and I know it is in my life, the greatest attention getters. The greatest disappointments, I'll never forget, 1968. Lucy and I had been married and we had been trying to have a baby for months. Nothing would happen. I finally decided to get me a brand new 1969 Camaro. I mean, I was ready. Because, see, I was making the money and everything. I picked out the nice color and everything. Soon as we had made up our mind, a great disappointment came on the scene. Dahlia. John, we going to have a baby. First thing I thought, I can't get that Camaro. Now, did you know? That's why I said, sometimes the greatest disappointments in life are the greatest attention getters. God was saying, you don't need a new Camaro. You need now to learn how to be a father. So don't get disappointed when God brings something in your life. How about number six? Unusual circumstances are attention getters. You know, we think about, firstly, Moses at the burning bush, don't we? That was very unusual. A bush in the desert burning that never burn up got Moses' attention. Moses said, let me turn aside and see this phenomenon. What is this strange desert experience? Unusual circumstances. What about us? God is going to use and send some unusual circumstances in his providence to get your attention. I don't know what they're going to be, but they're going to be some strange things. You know, I never thought that that would happen that way. Have you ever asked anybody, I wonder why this happened? I wonder why that happened, man. Gee, that's the strangest thing that I've ever experienced. It's an unusual circumstance. God might be trying to say, I'm trying to get your attention. I just put those tires on the car and the tire blew out. What were you thinking the minute the tire blew out? Unusual circumstances.
I just put in a beautiful plate glass window in my house.
You worship in the house now, you know. You worshiping it. God's trying to get your attention. You don't worship the house. And then the kids playing baseball and you stand up there looking at the window with your arms folded and you see the kid trying to pitch the ball and he said, "Oh man, I ain't think," and throws it dead. You said, "No." That's all the kids see. And he throws it, bust your window out. That's the most unusual. And then you ask the kid, "Why'd you?" "Man, I was throwing that way. And it went that way." God is trying to get your attention. You worship in the house. God is saying, "I tear the thing up." He uses unusual circumstances to get our attention. How about another one? Number 7, failure. God gets our attention by failures that happen in our lives. I didn't get the job. Why didn't I get the job? Wait, do you have a job? Yes. Well, yeah, but why didn't God get it? Well, he's trying to get your attention. What did you want the job for? What were you going to do with the income that you'd get with the job? Was the job going to cause you to be a blessing to others? Or was it going to cause you to become selfish? So God uses failure. Now, you don't believe me? Look at that. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho and won. And Joshua and the children of Israel fought the battle of Ai and lost. Failure. Bible tells me that Joshua fell down on his face in the ash heap and started saying, why God? And the Lord said, "Get up off of your face and stop it. Sin is in the camp." Through failing to take Ai, he got Joshua's attention. And that's the way he's going to get our attention sometime. If failing today makes you a success tomorrow, then you ought to be willing to fail. Lord, if it takes me failing to get my attention, let me fail. I'll never forget. I wanted a job. I was working for the city. And I'll never forget. What job was that? I think that was station officer. When station officer came out, I was tired of lifting boxes in the warehouse. And I prayed to God, "Oh Lord, if you let me pass this exam, I know you're speaking to me." Brother Don, I went there, brother, I passed the exam, and then I got the call to take the typing exam. I had to type 30 words a minute. Since I was a radio teletype operator in the Army, I says, "Lord, if you let me pass this typing test, I know you're talking with me." And I knew, Matt, in the back of my head, that that would mean working Sundays for at least a year. I knew it. But I said, hey, Lord, you're blessing me. Went there, took the typing test, passed the typing test. Hallelujah, Lord, everything. I didn't fail. I didn't fail. But the minute when I got the deal to come down, "John, come and take the job," something wasn't right in my heart, and I had to go up to personnel and say, "Take my name off the list." They sent it to me 2 weeks later, and I said, "Didn't I tell you to take my name off that list?" I failed to take the job, but in failing to do that, God got my attention by saying, if it's going to take you away from the Lord's house, he says, "Don't worry, you're not going to have to lift boxes long." And within 6 months after that, I became a traffic officer. And I only worked, I think, 3 Sundays in all the years that I was a traffic officer. See what I mean? Because God was trying to get my attention. And so failure, sometimes he gets our attention. Not through thunders, lightnings, lightning bolts. Another way that he gets your attention, number 8, and now I know that you're not going to like this, but he gets your attention through financial collapse. Oh, wait a minute. I'd rather hear some thunder. He gets your attention through your pockets having holes in it. All your money running out. Now, you tell me whether God won't get your attention. Usually this happens when a man robs God. When a man or woman tries to rob God, you know you owe God. And you, "Well, Lord, I got to hold back on that." And then the Lord, everything goes, your car goes out, the water heater blows up. All right, you have a fire in the corner of the house, you ain't got no insurance, everything. "Man, everything is going wrong. I ain't got no money." I'm saying, what is God trying to say to you? What is going on in your life? He's trying to get your attention. Financial collapse, that's right. When the money's all dried up, see? When when that happens, prayer is stimulated. Oh, now, Lord, I need to pray now. See, that's the effects of him getting your attention when your money's dried up. "Lord, what am I doing wrong?" Prayer is stimulated. Amen. Obedience is sought. "Lord, what do you want me to do now?" Because, see, your money's dried up.
And then he said, your trust is manifested. I'm going to walk with them. You'd even come to church and testify. Penniless. Lord, I ain't got a penny in my wallet. But I love you, Lord. I'm willing to go where you leave me. You know what the Lord would say if he'd speak? Why didn't you say that last month when I was trying to get your attention? I had to literally destroy you financially to get your attention. Now, some people in churches, they won't accept that. They say God would never see the righteous forsaken or his seed go begging for bread. Brother Johnson mentioned that scripture to me last night over the phone. And I, that's right. But if the righteous are disobedient, yes, he will. He will put holes in your pocket. Number 9, he gets our attention through tragedies. See, it's not always good times. See, see, God is trying to talk with us and move in our lives, and we're not listening. He says, all right, then. He won't look at the financial collapse. He won't listen to others. He won't look at the unusual circumstances. I've got to bring now the ultimate. I've got to bring some tragedy in his life. Tragedy. Now, what do I mean by that? You know the lady. Her name is Johnny, J-O-N-I, Erickson. She's a singer, a Christian singer, and she's a paraplegic. And she was skiing one night and one day and lost her balance and fell down, paralyzed from the neck down. And if you read her testimony, she says, I have never listened more clearly to God until after I was a paraplegic. God might even use tragedy in your life to get your attention. I don't know why he would allow anything like that to happen to a believer, but if it happens, I know you're going to go through a stage of, oh Lord, why are you doing it, anxiety and everything else, but you know what God is doing, even in tragedy, tries to get your attention. Something happens in your family, something happens to a loved one, God is talking to you. He's trying to say, I'm trying to get your attention. That's why it's a sad thing when a sinner comes to church and there's a funeral or a death in his family and they just cry their little eyes out. I try to tell them, when was the last time you sought the Lord? Seriously. Because you carrying on like this, God is trying to get your attention through this death. Don't let that be said. And 10th and lastly, this is the one that's going to be the humdinger. God seeks to get our attention through sickness and affliction. Uh-oh. You are not the kind of preacher I like. God will try to get your attention through sickness and affliction. 2 Chronicles, I got this down here. Turn it with me. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. I want to show you something right quick. 2 Chronicles 32. And if I go fast, you bear with me. Verses 22 through 25. 2 Chronicles 32, 22 through 25. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem by the hand of Sennacherib and the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all the others, and guided them on every side. And many brought gifts unto the Lord to Jerusalem, and presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was magnified, look at that, in the sight of the nations from thenceforth. And in those days Hezekiah was sick to the death, and prayed to the Lord, and he spoke to him, and he gave him a sign. Now, this is interesting. God got Hezekiah's attention after Hezekiah had done something, and he was magnified in the nation's eyes. Oh, King Hezekiah of Judah, he's this guy. Says, hey, wait, I got to get this boy's attention. Bam, struck him with sickness. God will strike. If he tries to speak to you and you won't let him speak through walking with you in the Holy Spirit, he'll strike you with sickness and affliction. How about James 5:14? Somebody may need a New Testament scripture to back that up. James chapter 5 and verse 14, which says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And so it says right there, if there's any sick among you, call the elders. Christians get sick, and God uses sickness sometimes to get our attention. God is going to always direct us and guide us to the correct destination if we allow him to get our attention. And the end and the gist of this sermon is exactly this, for those of you that are here tonight, and for myself too, because I want to remember these 10 ways that God seeks to get my attention. And if I get sick, if the money falls out of my pockets, if unusual circumstances happen, first thing that I'm going to say is, Lord, are you trying to communicate with me? Now, he isn't communicating with you when all these things happen. Because, see, sometimes, UJ, you may get into, Alvin, a business venture and invest $50,000 and lose it. The Lord ain't trying to speak to you. You said that was a bad investment. Bad choice. Your man, you can go skiing up in the mountains and catch pneumonia. The Lord ain't trying to speak with you. You should have put a jacket on. All right? Somebody may come and tell you that God told me to tell you this. Well, you're supposed to laugh at him. Say, God's not speaking through you. So you take these things in stride. These are ways that God gets your attention when you are what? Disobedient. See, God will speak to you in these ways to guide you and direct you. But I trust that as Christians, we might remain obedient. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your attention getters. We thank you, Lord, for the various means by which you seek to speak to us. And as we continue to look at the Word of God and to look at ourselves, we pray this, Lord, whatever it takes to get my attention, use it. For the sake of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
absolutely nothing like good exegesis to lead the way. Thank you so much for coming to my website. And I'm playing a little jazz in the background. This is a nice little number. Jazz for a lazy day. It is Saturday, by the way. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to play a couple of numbers by, I think, the king of jazz. Now, you guys know who that is. I don't have to spend too much time. Who is the man that made the imprint on America? As George and Ira Gershwin did on Broadway, who was the man who wrote his first musical piece in the year of 1924? Who was he? Well, we're going to hear from him right now. The Duke. Duke Ellington. With a couple of numbers that I know you will appreciate. Yeah. This one that I'm going to start off with, you're very familiar with it. Who would not be familiar with Take the A-Train by Duke Ellington? You hear that piano? That's the Duke on the keyboard. He had the Jaminist Band back in the day. Dun, 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 dun. I'll let him do it. I promise you I won't interrupt anymore. Oh, yeah. That's Duke Ellington back in the day. This is PJ your internet pastor, just playing a little music after that wonderful study on these ways that God gains our attention. And you know what? I can't disagree with any of those ways. But let's continue to listen to the Prince of Jazz, Mr. Ellington. This is one of his favorite melodies. I help written by Billy Strayhorn, his musical partner. Oh my God. Satin Now. This is a number you will love. Yeah. Duke always had that introduction on the piano that was something special. You knew something special was about to happen. Duke Ellington, Satin Dial. A classic, if there ever was a classic. Now I'm going to skip to the loo here, and I hope that the next one is up. It's one written by Duke Ellington, and a very special number. I've always liked it. Come Sunday. And this particular cut is from Black, Brown, and Beige. And Come Sunday was written by the Duke. He had a great love for the black church, the black classic church, the way it was. If you're familiar with Los Angeles, Thomas Kilgore of Second Baptist, the Duke would have liked that church, or a big United Methodist church. He wasn't too much on the Pentecostals and the fundamentals. And he even wrote a couple of pieces. He really did. He wrote a couple of pieces that were just fantastic. But here's Come Sunday, Duke Ellington. Mm-hmm. gosh, what a piece of music. You may be saying, John, what are you doing? What do you think I'm doing? I'm educating you. I'm educating you because you're younger than I. I'm 74 years old. If you're not a student of music, you don't know who this is. He's a black man, one of the greatest black composers that ever lived. From 1924, when he put his name out there, well, with that band, Duke Ellington and the Washingtonians, jazz was the greatest composer, produced, this writer says, a Herculean quantity of music for exactly 50 years. His written contributions are almost innumerable. Thousands of songs and dozens of works in symphonic form, which a little bit of what you just heard, as well as a complete scores for ballet, theater, and film. And though his music's increasing, through his music's increasing sophistication in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and I was born in 1944, and so this is what I heard coming through the radio when my parents played it, instead of Jay-Z and Beyonce, never would we hear or listen to anything like that. It says it can be known as the evolution of jazz itself. But Ellington's greatest contributions, this album cover says, the world was his tireless work as a band leader, a talent scout, and a half century of the greatest orchestra jazz has ever known. I'm going to play another number before I go off, and I thought that I'd play a little Ellington at the end of that Bible study that I gave. And be sure to listen to the last Bible study lecture taken from, and these lectures were put together from me reading Charles Stanley's book, Listening to God. And so I put it in sermonette form and invited the church to come back on a Sunday night. Had great times doing that. It was a lot of fun. Instead of, you know, preaching the way most of these people preach now, for a dollar bill. Well, here's one that I've always loved. Never No Lament. Now, it had an AKA thing there. Don't get around much anymore. And I can relate to that simply because I don't get around much anymore. And let me see if I got this up right. This one I love. I really did. It's a nice number. Duke Ellington. That's it. Thank you. Class A Duke Ellington. This is PJ, your internet pastor, just enjoying a little archival music. You know, when you listen to the Bible taught by a Bible teacher from the past, he had music that formed his frame of reference. This is why, you know, you can listen to preachers preach the Word of God today, and their what formed their frame of reference? The classics? Because that's what we're talking about. Don't get around much anymore. Yeah, a lament, and I do not. This little album here, it has a lot of nice things in it. Just nice things in it. I didn't, you know, I've had this music in my library for years. And, well, I'm just going to play a little bit of... and did you hear that that was a recording on a CD from a 78 record? You heard the record. Because some of these things you cannot find. It. We're going to end up with Cottontail, and I'm going to say thank you for coming to my website. Be sure to tune in for the last of this particular series coming up real soon. Now let's continue to listen. Cottontail. Ha 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 ha